All right, high energy. Welcome back to the Coach's Corner podcast. It's Brian and Coach Mo. On today's episode, we're going to give you a little bit of our backstory, tell you what we do. So here's the thing. If you are an aspiring coach or you want to get into this, into the youth sports training business, this is the episode you probably need to listen to, because we're going to tell you a little bit about our backstory and the things and the skills that we had and the steps we had to go through to get to where we are. And we're still growing. So hopefully you follow us on this journey. If not, you need to go to our Facebook page. It's Coach Mo Athletics on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. But today we're going to talk about our story. So that's what we got for you. We're focused on this one. So we'll get to you guys after the intro. Peace.
Peace.
All right. So we're going to skip a lot of the formalities and kind of jump right into business. So who are we? Coach Mo Athletics, right? That's the name that's attached to it. But we're a lot more than just Coach Mo Athletics. There's some other stuff that we got going on here. And so we want to kind of give you an intro to our backstory. And like I said at the intro, if you're an aspiring coach, listen to this one so you can see some of the roadblocks and hurdles we went through. And so you get a better sense of where we came from, okay? So whose story do we want to start with, yours or mine?
Let's go with yours.
All right. So my story. I started out, Mo and I met, when Mo and I met, we met in college, and I was working at the radio station. And so my initial plan was, I'm going to do this radio thing, see where it takes me, and move on. And a lot of times, you know, as with kids, the adults in our lives have a lot of sway, and I got talked out of the broadcasting thing and basically said, hey, you need to go get a real job. And so my version of that real job was human services. I started out and, you know, I started a switch from journalism to sociology and started on that degree. And I got to a point where I was in college. I'm like, man, I got no direction. So I dropped out of school, probably, I had a couple of credits left. I was on my path to graduation, but I decided to go work. And so hooked up with one of the largest childcare providers on the planet and started a career out there. And I had a long career in childcare, from working direct care and group homes and whatnot to case management, working with kids that were in, you know, that were in trouble, probation and things like that, to managing people who did the same thing and eventually running my own programs. And so my entire background was in childcare. Now, I say all that to say this, while I love it and I still do miss parts of it, there was something that was left unfulfilled. And especially when you're working in a human services kind of field, a lot of times the path to entrepreneurship is really walled off to you because you're thinking about how you can give to all the people that you interact with and how you can give and give and give. And you really don't put yourself or even sometimes your family first. It's about your clients. And so I wanted something more. And so the entire time I'm doing all this stuff through all the different phases of working with families and kids, I'm teaching myself how to build websites and teaching myself different marketing things and teaching myself, for those that don't know what copywriting is, basically copywriting is writing to sell things. And so I taught myself some copywriting stuff and video work and podcasting and all this other media production stuff. In addition to the marketing stuff, I'm giving myself a full education and all this stuff. Now, I didn't exactly have an avenue or a specific direction I wanted to go with it, but I felt like it was something important to learn. And one of the things is when you spend a lot of time educating yourself on it, it's great to educate yourself, but if you don't apply it, when you're faced with a situation where you have to actually use it, you don't know what tools to pull out and what tools to reserve. Okay? So I got to a point where I'm like, okay, I got to get out of this. I'm not getting fulfilled. I had reached my career goal, which was running my own my own program, being the director of my own program, where I had, you know, a close to $1 million budget, and I was able to do a lot of the planning things, but my heart just wasn't in it. And one thing I said when I started this childcare thing was, if I ever got to a point where I got burnt out, I would stop. And I used to encourage my employees, if you get to that point where you're burnt out, you're really doing more harm than you're doing good. Because your heart isn't into it, you're not really focused on the client, and you're going to make decisions to make your life easier, and they won't benefit any of the clients. And so I had reached my burnout stage, and I had been hovering around that burnout stage for a couple of years. And I finally got my career goal, and it felt great, but it's kind of one of those hollow feeling victories where you achieve what you want to achieve, but it doesn't feel like you've really achieved anything. And, you know, the entrepreneur spirit was burning within me. I had kind of dabbled in selling things on, you know, running a storefront on Amazon and reselling things and, you know, writing stuff, writing content for nonprofits and things like that, writing sales letters and the whole nine. And so I decided to make a major move. And it was a major move. It went from me working and being a director of a facility to me trying to, you know, eventually, you know, me partnering with a local franchise with the plans of eventually taking over the franchise. And I was doing the marketing of it. But this is where this comes into play. What I said about studying, and never getting a chance to apply it. When I got into the position of, okay, now I'm going to do the marketing for this, I had a thousand million different tools running around in my head and no clear path on how to execute any of it. And so a lot of it was on the job learning, and it was still kind of unfulfilling because it wasn't what I envisioned this ownership to be. I wanted something that I built from the ground up, and stepping into a pre-built kind of thing really wasn't what I wanted. And so I got to that point where I entered that burnout phase a lot earlier than previous times. And so this is where I called Mo and said, hey, man, you know, I've been coming out and filming, you know, taking photographs and building a website and stuff for Coach Mo Athletics. How about we just go in as partners and just do this thing? And that's where that started. So it's been on the job. There's been some on the job learning. I've reached the point that if I want to try something, I try it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it does work, it does work. The thing is, I think people don't really grasp how many years I actually spent studying a lot of the stuff and learning and executing and spending money to learn different things. Like two years ago, I just dropped like, you know, $3,000 on a course that teaches me the back end of Facebook and teaches me how to manipulate the algorithm and how to create ads and Google ads. Like, I invested in that piece of it for that knowledge. I've spent money on different things that teach me the details of copywriting and how to make more persuasive ads. I've spent money on building websites just to learn how that process goes. And so there was a lot of investment in it. It wasn't some overnight thing. And to be honest with you, I think a lot of business owners kind of need to take heed of this. The reality is not everybody's in a position to just abandon the 9-to-5. Sometimes you work on the back end. There are plenty of nights where I got done serving clients and I come home and sit up late studying marketing techniques. I didn't know what I was going to do with it, but I felt like it was important to learn that stuff. And so that's kind of what we want. That's kind of my story. I have my own marketing business, and I'm kind of pivoting more into content creation and teaching people how to do some of these simple marketing things that small business owners feel like they don't know or feel like they have to hire somebody to do. There's some simple things where you can do it yourself, and then when it gets a little bit more complex, you hire somebody to do it. But I want to create courses for those small business owners that just want to get started, need somebody to help them get started, and then eventually you hire somebody out to do some of the stuff as it gets more complex. But, you know, my marketing stuff, I've helped small businesses kind of figure out what their marketing plan is. I help, you know, manage, come up with social media strategies, and sometimes even do social media for businesses. I help them create content. I have clients that send me videos that they shoot, and I edit them up and add B-roll to them and add graphics and special effects to them so that they can post them. When I get done with this, matter of fact, I have a bunch of videos queued up to upload, because I built all the artwork out for somebody's YouTube channel, and I'm doing that. And so that's kind of what my that's what I do now. And so it's been a weird transition, but it's been a fun transition from doing serving families to being my own business owner and figuring out exactly what that looks like. I also do podcasting. I do my own podcasting. This is the third podcast that I'm working on. I got two other ones. One is more for fun, which is about black nerd stuff, video games, movies, comic books, the whole nine. That's Long Boxing While Black. And the other podcast is more about marketing stuff. It's a little bit more boilerplate kind of how to get started with different things about marketing is Brian Sells Word. So those are my two podcasts. But that's kind of what I bring in. And like I said, for Mo and I, I'm kind of the marketing arm. You know, if you see something posted or if you see some video done, a lot of times that's me. And we partner with other videographers. We partner with other, Mo does his fair share of the social media stuff too. But like the ads and all the other stuff, that's typically me. One I'm very proud of, and that we have running right now, and it's a fundraiser we're doing that, if you see it on the page, please either share it or donate to it for a young man named Jeremiah who means a lot to us. And, he was in a bad car accident. So basically we're trying to raise some money for the family. Donate to that. That's on the page, but that's something that we wrote up, to do it. But long story short, my path, and really I kind of condensed the story because there's a lot of pieces I left out, but I wanted to give you the best parts of it. And like I said, Mo and I got together and said, hey, let's make this thing a reality. And Mo's going to give you his story, tell you where he is, and then we're going to talk about, because there's like three parts to this. There's my story, there's Mo's story. Actually, it's four parts. My story, Mo's story, our story as business owners together, and then the story of our program. So that's what we're going to get into. We're going to take a brief pause for the cause, and then Mo, you up, right?
I'm up.
All right, so Mo's going to tell you what his side of the story is, and then we'll tell you what the whole thing is, how it all fits together. Take a pause for the cause, and we'll be right back. All right, y'all, we're back. So, essentially, like I said, I told you my side of it, and to be honest with you, Coach Mo Athletics is a merger between Coach Mo Athletics, the athletic end of it, the athletic training piece of it, and a merger between that and a media marketing company, which is mine, which is I Sell Words. And so I do the media and marketing. So what we got next, Coach Mo's going to tell you his story and how we got to this point here. So Coach Mo, you up?
I'm up.
All right, let's go.
It all started in 1979. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to go back that far. Again, like Brian said, I'm going to give kind of the important parts of it. I think that's important to me. I'm a kid that I grew up in the Durham, Raleigh, North Carolina area. I used to hang with my cousins more in Raleigh side. But I was born in Durham. Basketball mecca. I mean, you have Duke University down there. Down the road, you have Chapel Hill, go Tar Heels. And you also have other schools running down there, Wake Forest, NC State. Just a lot of basketball that's down there. As I grew up, everybody played street basketball. I was a kid of the 80s and 90s. We made it through all the different eras. So, you know, when we talk about basketball and those things there, we saw the Magic Johnson era. We saw the Michael Jordan era. We seen the Kobe, LeBron era. We saw it all. And then one of the big parts was, and I think this kind of got me started, was the and-one era. And if people remember that the and-one era was kind of tricky basketball stuff, the extra dribbling, the throwing the ball off the wall behind your back, real fancy. And so we kind of lived off of that. It was fun. It was a fun time, early 90s. There, I played a lot of Hoop It Up tournaments that were here in Omaha. Man, I go back to when it was downtown, under the bridge, way back, Exarban. I even played at Oakview once, and so that was big. That was huge down here, and so the influence was there. What happened though, when I got to middle school and stuff, I played and I really didn't have anybody. My dad didn't play basketball. My dad was great at track, great at football. I think all my cousins was really good at basketball. Our uncles told us stuff, but I was not tall, and so I'm a realistic coach. I wasn't tall, and so a lot of my cousins, a lot of my friends were making teams or making those things. And this is back when the era where, like, if you were 6'4", you were like a center, back then. And so they were like just getting on teams, and a lot of them would tell you like they weren't great, but they're 6'4", and they weren't gonna tell the coach no. And so me being, I was probably 5'6", 5'5" at the time, and I got up to eventually 5'9". I could jump, grab the rim. Eventually was able to dunk. Those things didn't really matter in a sense. I didn't know how to run an offense as a point guard. So when I got to high school, there was some politics stuff. I'm not one of those people that will sit here and give you a big story about it was all politics. I didn't know a lot of the plays. I never ran point guard. I didn't understand how to run a team. I was a street baller, and so people would see me on the street and they're like, "Man, you're doing amazing stuff." I'd go to tryouts for high school, and I froze. I was nervous. I couldn't do what I thought I could do. And so I struggled in high school as a basketball player. Pretty good football player. I ended up playing. Got recruited by a couple of schools, and walking on at UNO and having a pretty decent career until I got into a car accident. And then that was, but I continued after that to play basketball. Then again, long story short, I ran into Brian in college. We became pretty good friends. I continued to play basketball, just fun, things there. I really loved the sport. Track was probably my best sport. I was naturally fast, but as you know, in college, as you know, you have a lot of idle time sometimes. And so I stayed in the Hyper Building at UNO and kept playing. Myself and Brian, and shout out to Jimmy Ross, we would lift weights. And we found that important to kind of just a brotherhood of just hanging out, lifting weights. We play ball, we play flag football together. We do that, and we just did that, but we stayed in shape. And I just kind of fell back in love with the game, and I started playing at the Downtown Y every Friday with my friend Curtis, and then I had a friend David and Mike, and we'd play all the time, and I really got a love for it. Long story short, my brother, we're 19 years apart. He was born in 98, 90 years apart. Real cool kid. Ended up needing a coach for basketball. Coach didn't show up one day. I started coaching for the Y with him. I said I was going to give it 2 games. Ended up turning into 4 or 5 seasons with these boys. But I ended up having a love for it. Within there, I did an internship at a place that for youth, and I really fell in love to the point of developing youth from the beginning, not only as young men and women to do make better decisions, but I really got into the sports side of it, along with the coaching. And so what I looked at and what made me get into this was I was very talented naturally. Like we talk about this, like I was very fast. I could jump. I had a good high, IQ, but I couldn't put it together because there's no one that told me how to put it together. And so I started looking into ways that I can help kids put it together and not wait till they're 27 or 30 years old to kind of figure it out. And so, there's things that, happen in between to get you where you're at. The first thing I got into was, I started working. Shout out to CW, CW Boxing. Carl Washington changed my coaching path for a while. He saw the way I coached those kids. When I ended up getting under there, I got mentored by Coach Travis. We're still really good friends. Kevin Ross, rest in peace, Kevin, was great to me. And so I got some good mentor on how to actually coach. and how to coach games. There's things about there's developing players, there's coaching game. I got some good development under the under them. So now I'm mature. Now I'm going through it, and so I'm not, now I'm finding places to work with kids. Overnight sensation. My son's born. My oldest, Ami. We're at a barbecue, and the kid's dribbling around the table with one hand, going behind his back. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I didn't teach him that. It was just, whoa. Somebody said, I don't know what you're doing, but you must be looking like you're training. That word stuck to me, and I was like, training. And so when I looked at him, I was like, I'm going to see. And so he had a couple of friends that would come around, and they'd play in the yard, and I'm like, you know, and people are like, you should pretty much train. You know, I'm like, I'm all right. Well, what happened was, shout out to Tiffany Lassick, our girl. She approached me about her daughter one day, and we had went to the same church, and she said, I need you to help train my daughter. And I was like, in what? It's like basketball. I see what you can do with the little kids. I need you to train her. She's going to try out for a team. And I didn't think I was going to do it. Long story short, Tiffany, if you know Tiffany, she will she will convince you to do anything, you know, because she's just well-spoken. A good leader. End up training Felicia. Felicia made the team. That word got out quick. I started getting approached by other people. And one of my first kids, my first girl that I ever trained, Savannah, rest in peace, came up to me and she said, I have a daughter. And she's like, I want you to train her. And I was like, okay. I was like, okay. And I was like, what do you do? She said, train her. And so she brings her daughter, bring a couple other kids. Long story short, the kids are playing. We have about 8 kids. And we're in a church. We're in a carpeted room. Nothing really fancy. And it was Elise, my daughter Mina. Lincoln was one of our first kids. Shout out to Coach Jen. And we only had a few kids. We went and we approached the Croc Center. They said they didn't have any teams for preschoolers, so I put a team together of Ami. There's Evan and Aiden. Desiree was on the original team, and Jake. And we ended up knocking off first graders, second graders, and then the camps kind of spread. And so they were good. We had to scale up because the demand was there. We were doing it for the right reasons, and we had to move on. There's no hard feelings. We had to move on. Had to find bigger venues and those things there. But while there, I remember talking to Brian, and he was talking about when he was looking into things just in general, like when running shelters, getting certifications. And I didn't think it was that important at the time. I remember not really listening what he was saying. And then I went back and I said, some of the kids I'm training or I'm seeing or the kids that we're beating aren't super fast, aren't super athletic, aren't, you know, don't really know where they're at. And I came in one day and I said, I think I'm going to give a speed and agility certification. And I remember talking to, a person I work with, and they were a trainer, and they laughed. And they said, that would never be, no one ever believe in that. You know? And I was like, well, yeah, I think so. I think people will, to make a kid faster, or even a little bit faster, jump a little bit higher, gives a kid an advantage. And that person laughed at me. And I'm a guy, if you know me, I'm very friendly, I'm very nice, but I hold a chip on my shoulder when it comes to anything that blocks me from training a kid and helping that kid meet and exceed his goals. So I kept that chip on my shoulder, went and got that certification, was super hard, went and got it. I think I amazed the person that doubted me. And then I said, you know what? I talked to Brian. I talked to a couple of people. I'm like, I don't know, exactly what I'm doing, but I'm going to go get an LLC. Stepped out on my own, talked to my families and said, I'm going to do this on my own. All of them followed me. I didn't think anybody would. They all followed me. I told they were never going to follow me. And it was there. So long story short, I was doing camps by myself years, past. They were okay. I started getting that burnout. When I said it wasn't burnout what I was doing, it was every weekend was a lot. It was me. It was a bunch of kids. It was, and it was every weekend. It seemed kind of repetitive. I mean, I was doing good work, but I couldn't keep the kids. Like, I'd have them for 4 weeks, and you lose 10. I'd have them for another 4 weeks and you lose 15 kids. And I'm like, what do I need to do to maintain them? And then that's when, you know, let's fast forward. Brian came to me. He was getting into some marketing stuff. And he was like, how about, you know, we just start looking at the kids. Let's make a program. Let's make a program. Let's find a way to track them. Let's do it where we actually are getting a service. Let's really fast forward. Sitting in the car one night, and I thought about it. I was like, I like the idea of a basketball academy. And I ran it by him. And, you know, he was into it. Brian had got the cameras. He was doing stuff. He's getting the website stuff down. He's like, that's great because we can actually do what we do in a camp on a weekend every single week, plus give homework, plus give feedback, plus we never lose connection with the kids. So kids that have been doing our basketball academy since we've been starting it, we've maintained a lot of those kids, and we've added these kids. We get to see them every single week. So to add quality to that, the certifications we've added, I've added a resistance band instruction certifications. I've studied different things. We've learned how to do online training. We have adapted with the time. We've adapted with everything that's going on, and that's us just bouncing off each other. And so right now, we're at a point where we were going from training two kids in a carpeted room to at any time we can have over hundreds. We have the ability to go hundreds or even thousands of our goal to, because we added online training. We've added in-person training. We still have camps. We're actually going to have we're explaining a camp that we're going to have coming up. And we still have the basketball academy. That's every single week. And that's growth. And so I'm thankful for the families. I'm thankful for not giving up on myself, and thankful for finding, being able to work with Brian and finding things that work and don't work. If you know both of us, our personalities are completely different, but we, you know, our goals are the same. It's to help your kid and your athlete get the best out of them. I'm a little, I'm the talker. You're the talker. I'm a little bit more, let's just jump in and do it. And Brian's kind of like, hey, man, if you jump in, how deep is it? how deep is it? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I didn't think about that, And so this is where we are, right there. And that's, again, kind of the highlights of the story there. But there's many parts of the journeys, many setbacks and go together. But this is where we are as of October 15th, 2020. This is where we're at right now.
All right. So now we're going to take another pause for the cause, and then we're going to give you a layout of the program and where we're planning on going with it. So that's what we'll get into. Talk to you in a few.
Peace.
So where are we at now? What's the plan now? What's the move now? From a programming standpoint, we have a lot of plates in the air. And to be honest with you, some of those plates are set to drop. We have to set some things down. We had to rejigger a couple of things from the initial, the initial vision of the academy to what it is now in order for it to be something that's viable moving forward. We understand that. There's a limited amount of time. And here's the thing for business owners. You got to understand this. You have a limited amount of time in the day. And, they say the 80-20 rule, however you want to flip it. Only 20% of your activities are the things that generate money. And 80% of the things are things you just do. And so we are getting to that point where we're leaning hard into the 20% and trying to outsource the 80%. And that's what a lot of business owners struggle with. And especially when you're coming to a training business, one of the things you got to realize is you can only scale so far when you're working directly with clients. And I've talked to other trainers about this. I've worked with other trainers. And the thing I try to reinforce and hammer home to them is, one, you got to define who your clients are and really make services that speak to that base of clients. And then you have to leverage your time. You have to find a way to scale it. A lot of people come in with these big hearts where they think it's going to be for everybody. And my program's for everybody. You play that game, especially in this field, you're no different than anybody else on the street. Really, I think our focus is moving forward is we want the athletes that want it. We don't want somebody that's coming in and just taking up time and taking up space. We've had camps where we're literally just a babysitting service. That's not rewarding for us. It's definitely not rewarding for the kid. And so we've really tried to tweak our marketing so that we're not drawing in those kind of, I just want somebody to babysit my kid for a couple hours while I go out and do other stuff. Because we had a lot of that. And like I said, it's distracting for the other kids. The kid there isn't really enjoying it. It's just filling time. And that's not the kind of services we want to provide. There are plenty of people that throw basketball camps where that's all it is. You pay a couple of pennies and they sit around and they sit around and make your kid dribble a ball in a circle for an hour and a half so that you can go out and play in the city and come pick your kid up. That ain't what we do. And we've actually, you know, here's the other side. As a parent, I've actually paid for that service. And it was unrewarding for everybody involved. Even the people that were holding the service, because they definitely didn't make their dollars worth it. You know, if you scale it and look at it, essentially for every client that they had, you know, we pay like $25 for an hour and a half. So they weren't even making minimum wage for the time that they spent with all those kids. So it wasn't rewarding for anybody involved. And that's not the kind of service that we want to do. We want kids that want it. We want parents that understand that there is a level of commitment to it. We're not saying that you only have to play one sport. We love multi-sport athletes, and those are the ones that we've had the best success with. Ami is a great example of being a multi-sport athlete, where he has a passion in one and a talent for multiple sports, but a real strong passion for one. But he's good at any sport you put him in, he kind of takes to it, and he enjoys it. So we're not just saying focus on one sport. We're talking about, are you committed to being better? And that's the parents that we want. Those are the kids that have the best outcomes, even if it's not with us. Because sometimes it's personality. Sometimes it's, you know, it's just not the right time. But those are the parents that we want. Those are the ones we attract. And I encourage anybody who's out here doing this sports training thing or personal training thing, find who your who is. Don't waste time chasing everybody. Because when you're chasing everybody, you can serve anybody. People can go out and find you anywhere. They can find somebody to replace services anywhere. And now you're competing on price. And there's no strategic advantage in being the second least expensive person out of a group of options. It's just none. So I'm giving you a little bit for your sports business if that's what you're listening for. But these are conversations Mo and I have had too. So we focused our business. We decided who we want and who we're not appropriate for. And occasionally we get the people who are not appropriate for, and we try our best to provide services for them. But eventually, you know, they may go their own separate ways, or they may mold themselves into the kind of athletes and parents that are good for the service. You never know. How did we come about that process, Mo? How did we figure out who our who was?
Trial and error. And we kept it real with ourselves. And I think this goes back to who our personalities are. You can be stubborn on some things, but we both are, you know, we both had our eyes open the whole time. We've made mistakes. We've had a lot of success, and we started seeing what can help certain kids and what we can and can't do. And so we just kept it real with ourselves. Not everybody's gonna need training. You know, some people just don't, you know, take the training because, like you said, they don't want it. They're not serious about it. You can go to trainer A, trainer B, trainer C. We've had kids, went to a bunch of them. You're just a person that doesn't like training, you know, and that's okay. And I think when I was younger, and we both were younger in our 20s and 30s, we were kind of like, man, how come these people aren't coming to these camps? How come people aren't doing like that too? And the older you get, you're kind of like, you know, maybe those kids, maybe two of the 10 kids that were in this camp when they were second grade, maybe they just don't like sports anymore. Nothing that we're doing. Maybe it's just something they grew out of. And then we focus on the eight, that still want to do it. And if you focus on the 8 that still do it, you find the 4 that's very serious. And those 4 are the ones that give you your most success in this business.
Right.
And we don't hang on. We don't lie to parents. And I tell them, like, we don't, you know, we're honest. And these are those meetings we talk about. We talk about it all the time. The meetings with the kids that you need to have, we have. We see the body language, and we immediately tell a parent, this kid is telling me he really doesn't want to be here. It has nothing to do with anything. He really wants to be in the chess club. You know, when he's 6'5", 6'6", understand that. He's telling us he wants to be in the chess club. You may want to have these conversations. So it's not about the money for us. Yes, we're a business that, you know, yes, we want to make money, but we don't want to make money off of a kid that doesn't want to be there. That's not going to help anybody. And so, yeah, I've had parents that came up to me and it's like, hey, you know, I'll pay your top rate, you know, plus some, and make my kid into an NBA star. Your kid can't dribble and he's in 11th grade. You know, like, well, you can fix it. I can help him learn to dribble a little bit better, but he also doesn't come to practice on time and doesn't bring the right shoes, being prepared, like we talked about a few times. Oh, well, I think you can do it. Well, he actually's not really focused either. So we're very honest with them. Like, yes, that sounds great. I would love to, you know, we would love to take every kid, you know, but not every kid's going to be appropriate for our program. But we also, when we do get those kids that are not appropriate, we know a lot of coaches, a lot of programs that we know that may be a better fit. And we're honest with parents. They're like, hey, here's a number of person that may be a better fit because they may take more recreation players because it seems like your kid only wants to do something once a week, which is fine. And so we don't leave the kids hanging in. We're just honest up front.
Right. And that's a big piece of it. We'll, you know, we'll tell you, hey, you're wasting your money here. I handle a lot of the payment processing stuff. There are times where, you know, it'd be like, you know, we'll have a conversation like, we haven't seen this kid in weeks. We haven't heard anything from this kid. One thing is we did set up recurring billing. The reason why we set up recurring billing is our time still costs, even if our client decides that they're not going to be there for that day. Our time still has value. And so we still want to get compensated for the time that we would have normally spent. So we have recurring billing, but there are times where a kid doesn't show up for a couple of weeks and we say, you know, maybe they forgot about us. Maybe they forgot this account was still active. We'll shut it off because we're like, we don't want you to waste your money with us. Now, we've had parents that will say, just leave it open. You know, we got some stuff running and we'll be back. Don't worry about it. We value that and we appreciate that. But other times, you know, we shut it off and never hear from them again, which is apparently the service wasn't right for them. But recurring billing is important from a standpoint of, you know, you don't want to book a bunch of time, book your entire week. And we've been in this position. We book an entire week, book out all these things, move around a bunch of stuff, move out a lot of clients that could have been paying to come in and get stood up. And now we're not getting paid because we're charging per, you know, we were charging per session. And we wanted to get away from that as fast as possible. And I see a lot of personal trainers falling into that pit. Do whatever you can do. Make sure that you're getting compensated for your time, even if the client isn't showing up. If they value your service, they will compensate you for the times they're there, and they'll compensate you for the times that they flaked. But don't get into that, because what happens is you'll get into a trap of makeup trainings and makeup sessions, and you'll end up losing money on people that would normally attend your stuff and pay your fee. Because you're doing a bunch of makeup sessions that you've already been compensated for, but the money's gone.
And there's that burnout piece of it. You'll start burning yourself out. You'll burn yourself out. And for the coaching part of it is, the last thing you want to do is be burnt out and try to train a client. And Brian has helped me over the years where he sees it. And I haven't never gave a client halfway service, but he'll see me. I'll sit in the office and he'll be like, we need to fix your time. I'm like, why? You're out 4 nights a week doing training. Probably need to go to 2, and then let's go to let's start adding some different camps and those things there. So there.
So that is going to lead into our next segment. We're going to give you the backstory, a brief history of each one of the major programs that we're running. That conversation happened, and that was a big genesis of the formation of how we did Basketball Academy, how we structured it. And it's also part of while we're changing some elements of it for this season. So that's what we're going to get back. That's what we're going to talk about when we get back. We're going to take a pause for the calls. We'll be right back. All right, we're in segment four. This is the home stretch. So we gave you a backstory about us. We told you about some of the things that we did. Hopefully, if you're a coach or somebody who's in the sports training business, hopefully you got some takeaway from this. The next piece is going to be pretty informative because we're going to talk about our major programs and some of the thought that came behind those major programs and so where we want to take them. The conversation we just had was talking about the time management piece and spreading yourself too thin. That conversation informed a lot of what we did with the Basketball Academy because it was about 2 years ago, we had all kinds of teams. Like we had a girls team, which we loved. That girls team did really, they outperformed majorly compared to what their collective skill level was. And we got some of those girls their first win in years of playing basketball, like their first solid wins and some big, pretty big wins in their first, just big wins in years. Some of these girls have been playing for 3 or 4 years and they experienced their first win under us. And that's something that we were really proud of. But we had a girls program. We had sixth graders. We had, little kids team. We had the eighth grade team. We had the ninth grade team. We had all these different teams. Here's the problem. Initially Mo was having separate practices for each team. And so we're driving, and Omaha's not a big city, but it can be if you got to drive all over and you have, I got to practice at 5 and then another practice at 6:30 and another practice at 8 and you're driving all over town to accommodate these. And we talk about spreading ourselves too thin. Mo is really kind of burning himself out with driving all over, and kind of it was actually affecting the love of the game because the coaching piece was getting to be more of a chore because everybody is spread all over the city. And, most of the day was spent driving from one practice to the other. So we already had the academy program running. So Mo and I had a conversation and said, you know what? We're just going to stop all these different practices and bring these teams to the academy. And we're going to all practice at the same time. We have enough coaches. We can break out things and the kids can get the individual teams can get individual attention. Let's just do it. And that's one of the things we did. We already had the facility. We already had the program set up. We already had kids coming to the academy anyway. And we had enough rims and enough space to have multiple teams practicing at the same time. We put it all under one roof at one time. And that saved a lot of gas and a lot of energy driving all over the city. Like I said, the academy program was something that we wanted to do basketball camps year-round. Because for those that do the camp hustle, camps are fun. They're also taxing. There's a lot of build-up. From a marketing standpoint, I got to put out the feelers for it, give people a taste of what's coming up, put out the materials for it, put out the Facebook posts, let the Facebook posts mature, let it get as much organic reach as it's going to get. And then target it and blast it out to a specific market. And then I normally have two posts running, one that's for people that follow us and one that's for strangers. And there's an entire sequence where I have to warm up people that listen. There's a ton involved in launching and promoting a camp. And while the camps have been rewarding and we're actually going back into some of the camps, we're not going to be doing them at the frequency that we're doing them before. We're focusing on high-value camps for very specific ends, and those are going to drive into other services that we offer. So you're going to be seeing one-on-one offers and Basketball Academy offers mixed in with the camp. The idea is we wanted to take the camp and make it a year-round program. And that's what Basketball Academy is. Look at Basketball Academy as a year-round basketball camp. Now, last season, pretty much, and I've talked about this before, we tried to put a team for everybody, every kid, every group of kids that came into the camp, didn't we?
Yeah, it was. We would get kids, and we couldn't say no because there's that personality thing. You know, we're like, oh, we're gonna let them in. We couldn't say no. Well, what happened was we're getting unbalanced, and so we'd have seven girls on a team that were sixth graders, but then we'd have three third grade boys, and we'd just kind of get them in, and we'd give them that service, and we'd probably get a team, and it really stressed out. I'm thankful in this business, and here's another tip: have somebody that will be honest with you. They'll watch you and hold you accountable. And Brian has been. And we share a lot of personal stories. We've been knowing each other a long time. You know, we've been at the hospital when our kids are born. We've been knowing each other a long time. He knows when I'm at my peak, you know, I'm done. He knows, and I knew when his is. And so he saw it. We've been telling it. The program is, you know, the basketball academy piece of it is, let's put them all under one roof. And as this year has transferred, let's put them all under one roof. But let's make sure we have, if we have eight kids in one grade and two in the other, we have to only do a team for those eight kids. And the other two, yes, we want to eventually help them find teams. We can do the development. We can do the training. But we're not going to stress ourselves and add six or seven teams, because then it becomes a quantity and not quality. And our goal is quality.
Yep. And so this year we had to do away with, we wanted it to be, you know, and here's the thing, as it scales up, and we have some big plans for it to scale up. You know, something we just discussed that I'm not going to let out completely yet, for the academy and the vision that we have for it, where we can possibly facilitate a team for every grade. But we need a little bit of time to let that mature and build that out, as opposed to just jumping right in and doing it. But right now, it's going to be more of a basketball development camp, one night a week. Where you can come in and get some good development. And if you're on one of the teams, like if there's enough for a team, then that's going to be kind of your practice time too, in addition to some open gym stuff that we're running. So that's what the Basketball Academy is. We wanted to make a basketball camp that was a year-round program. Now, the next phase of Basketball Academy is the online training. We have a platform, and I'm still evaluating how well this platform actually works, because we may be pivoting away from it after I've seen a couple of things in terms of application. But we built, Coach Mo has taken a lot of time building out programs for people to train remotely. And so we have a remote basketball academy too, which takes you through workouts. It gives you a lot of calisthenics and stretches and, you know, body weight movements and even some lightweight movements. And basketball work designed to give you, get you into basketball shape and keep you in basketball shape if you can't be in a gym. Because there's a lot of kids that can't be in a gym right now, but they still want to keep their edge. And we've had parents that have taken it and have rave reviews about it. And so our online services, we have Basketball Academy, we have Total Athlete Training Online. We're going to be building out, you know, 60 or 30 days to a better vertical, and have some really targeted ones that are going to be premium ones. I'm just putting that out there. Those are going to be premium ones, but those are going to be ones that teach you proper jumping form and give you exercises to improve your vertical. And we've discussed it. Adding an inch to your vertical can be the difference between dunking the ball and not dunking the ball. So that's why it's a premium service. And Mo has had good success with kids that he's been training to add those extra inches or even extra centimeters to that vertical to make it something a little bit more impactful.
And then in this industry, and the come off of that is the proud things that I'm proud of is that stuff, is the athlete that gives you a text in the middle of the night and say, you know, I went to practice today and I jumped 1 inch higher on the vertical jump today at school. And they're excited and they post about it. It's the best thing that happened to them. And you know what? And if it is, it is. We love that. You know, we love that. And that's the part of us being humble. You'll never, and this is no knock on anybody else, you'll never see me post a bunch of pictures and videos of me dribbling. You know, saying like that too. I still can play a little bit. You know, I'm 41 though. You know, I train. And so, but the videos we have are our kids. They're dribbling. They're performing in the games. They're making the teams. They're leading the teams. They're team captains. They're getting the scholarships. They're, you know, they're becoming coaches themselves. Shout out to Coach Ian, who was a varsity player in the North, who came on and is going to be starting with us. And with us a season, and he's a coach. Right. You know, he's coaching. And so we're proud of that. You know, we're proud of that. And that's where we came to. The Basketball Academy is our baby. We love it. We invite you guys to come out. It's every Wednesday. You see the show notes. We'll get you in there. Sign up. You'll have the link. Come in and show up. We have some open runs that are Monday night for, you know, more competitive players. Going to go up there. We'll show you how to do that. We have the Total Athlete Training, like you said. Look in there. We'll show you those things. We are very proud of where we came at, and we're just going to only grow and get bigger, not only with – with what we're doing and the development and the study we're doing, but with your help as well.
And here's the thing. Total Athlete Training, that is really, because, you know, Basketball Academy is the baby of it. Total Athlete is the base of everything we do. That's the program. And you're going to see Coach Mo's Total Athlete Program. When we talk about Total Athlete Training Program, that is the program that informs everything else we do. And we're working on putting some things together for that. And actually creating a coach's training for that, so you can learn the Total Athlete Training system and either apply it at your house with your athlete or start your own business and training athletes. But it's going to be its own system, and we're actually working on compiling all that stuff together and selling that program. But when we say Total Athlete Training, we see that a lot of athletic skills and abilities translate across sports. And that's why we're big into multi-sport athletes. You know, running faster, jumping higher, being more explosive, moving more efficiently translates across every sport. And that's what the basis of the Total Athlete Training is. It's for all athletes to play and to use. And we've used it across a lot of different athletes. I'm trying to think of some of the most, we've had volleyball, we've had soccer, we've had basketball. I think we've had hockey come through. We've had people ask about cricket. We've had people ask about lacrosse. And so there's benefits, football, of course. There's benefits to all sports. It's a total athlete training system. When we say total athlete, we mean total athlete. Total athlete is speed, agility, strength, footwork, all the things that define athletics. That's what Total Athlete Training is. And that's the formation of that. The foundation of all of our programming. Our Basketball Academy is basically the basketball version of our Total Athlete Training with basketball skill work involved in it. Okay. So that's the basis of it. You're going to be seeing more and more about it because that is the foundation of our programming. And so we spend a lot of time trying to explain it, trying to find a way to define it. Basically, we do speed. Coach Mo is a certified speed and agility trainer, but he also has a lot of knowledge in other realms of athletic development. And so it's bringing all that together and creating a solid program. So when we say the Total Athlete Program, that is the program that informs all the other programs that we do. It informs our speed and agility training for athletes, and it informs our basketball training. So that's one that's out there. Another one that we're going to be pushing really hard is our one-on-one training. The one-on-one training is the work that Coach Mo's been doing with college-bound athletes that are currently college-bound, that have offers on the table. This is the one-on-one work is really what formed the foundation of Basketball Academy, because the work he's been doing with those one-on-one athletes, we found a way to make it level appropriate for kids that have different experience levels. And so we're drilling back hard into one-on-one training. So if you have an elite basketball prospect, and we can't name names because we ain't trying to get in trouble with parents or the NCAA. We don't need that smoke. But we have college athletes, and we're not lying about that. And for those that know us in the circle, ask around.
Oh yeah, we got some ballers.
Ask around, but the one-on-one work is another premium level service. We can't give that one away. But understand that that's also the thing that forms the Basketball Academy. So if you're looking, if you don't have the funding, or your athlete isn't quite at that part where they're ready to be pushed hard like an elite college-bound athlete, Basketball Academy is your spot to go. If you have that one that needs that edge, and they conquered all the other vistas, now it's time for the one-on-one. And we're proud about that. We're going to be pushing that one hard. We're probably going to do it face-to-face. I'm working on putting together the pieces for the virtual one-on-one training. So we'll be able to do it worldwide. All right? We everywhere. You ain't never there. That's the goal. What else do we have, Coach Mo?
You hit it. I mean, you hit it. The online, the Basketball Academy, the Total Athlete. Got some surprises kind of coming up. We'll have some, you know, some camps coming up. Stay tuned to those. It's big. You know, so it's we just big. We appreciate the journey. We appreciate the struggles. We appreciate the support. We appreciate the haters. The haters keep us going. You know, it was going. But, you know, we especially appreciate the ones that's always been there. The athlete that's moved on and went to other states but still shout us out. The athlete that calls you in the middle of the night that gets excited about, you know, the opportunity to have a recruiting call. The athlete that tells you that they're now on the A team instead of the B team. I mean, we're excited about that. That's our goal, to go in there. But we're only going to get better, and we only continue to get better. And we, you know, and for coaches, trainers, and all that, you have the nights where you're like, I don't know if this is going to be, you know, be the thing. Just go back to your biggest success story and look, and you'll say, okay, so that's why I do it, you know, and that will get you where you need to be at. And then find yourself a partner. Find yourself somebody that will hold you accountable, that will push you to get better, that will pick you up when you're down, and you keep going. And that's what me and Brian have together. And I think we've been told several times by people like, in this business, it'd be hard. Remember, we were told by somebody, you sure you want to go into business with someone, your best friend? Because what if everything goes south? What if everything goes wrong? Will you like each other afterwards? I'm like, well, that's why you're friends first. Yeah. I was like, and we're not just, you know, we're not just, I see this guy. I spoke to him once a month, everything in college. Man, we were on the radio station together. We used to lift weights together. Yeah, our kids play together. We're, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that was first, and we just developed business out of it, and we learned how to do this. And so we're going to be here. We're going to continue to get better. We appreciate the support. I have nothing else but love for everybody that's supporting us, and just stay on to these podcasts. We're excited. This is one of the most exciting ones I've done, and I really want to do this for you guys and let you know who we are. And we're an open book. You give us a call. You have a question about a program, give us a call. Send us a message. Send us an email. We'll get back to you. We'd like to see you there. And, hey, you're knocking on the door. Like we said last week, it's time to try out. Yeah. Hey, knocking on the door. You need to come tomorrow. You need to come today. Give us a call. We can get you started in some one of our programs to get you to that next level.
That's the goal, man. We need to get you in first. So we can figure out what you're appropriate for. If you're a Basketball Academy kid, we want you in Basketball Academy. But if you are a one-on-one kid, we definitely want you in one-on-ones, because we're still in the COVID stuff, y'all, and we still are trying to find places that the competition for gym space is fierce right now. And so people are really struggling to find places. We've been fortunate enough to be able to find places that we can train. But if you don't have a gym to go to, you need to contact us so you can get that work in, because your competition ain't stopping. And I want to leave it like that. Your competition ain't stopping. You need to contact us to get your unfair advantage. So with that, check the link in the show notes. I will put Coach Mo's hub, where I have basically... It's a landing page that has all of our services laid out on it. It's going to be in the show notes. Check it out. Basketball Academy's rolling every Wednesday. You need to, if you're not in, you need to get in. If you want to get down with us, space is limited because of this COVID stuff. So that's what we got. We will holler at you guys later. Thanks for tuning in.
I'll see you guys.
All right.
Peace.
Peace.